Kick its ass.
She was appalled at Apache Pizza. And I was like, yeah, it is a sensitive subject. I grant you that. But I do think you need to view it from the prism of that we actually didn't take their land, right? You did that.
You did.
So
it's a
little different coming from it. I'm just putting it out there.
I will say,
and listen, sins of the father, but like, yeah, I mean, you are not my father. Like, this is so far removed.
I do think that, like, I had the same thought when people were like, oh my God, there's a club called Wigwam. What are you people? I'm like, okay, well.
you just want to be like, I understand that, but you have to think at the time that your ancestors were murdering and writing treaties that said you weren't going to definitely murder them, then breaking those treaties and then murdering them and taking their land. They were looking at us and going, gotta fucking send some money to those people who need potatoes. I doubt it would bother them as much coming from the Irish people, but who knows.
Well, given that all of their government representative bodies still use the word Indians, you know, not using the word Indians as a white people thing.
you had to know. I can see why, like, Washington Redskins was like, okay, well, can we not be the red? We're not even red. What is this?
Yeah. That one was a bit of that one was such a slam dunk, obvious, like, thing to change, and yet they fought tooth and nail.
It was the last one to go.
Anything easy.
It was the last one to go. Well, no, the actual last one is still there. It's the Atlanta Braves.
The Kansas City Chiefs.
You know, I had not put two and two together with Kansas City Chiefs. Do they have, like, logos?
Arrowhead Stadium.
I fucking knew that was the name of their stadium. Again, I thought
their logo,
like,
is a literal stone arrowhead. I think the key difference there is, like, the Braves and the Chiefs are, like, generally positive sentiments, but the Redskins is a racist term. To describe it, it'd be like calling a team like the Boston Paddywhackeries, and it's like, okay, well, that was never really intended with kindness.
Yeah.
It hasn't inherited said kindness since. Still owned by, let's say that team was owned by someone whose last name was Trevelyan. We'd be like, okay, maybe you don't get the benefit of the doubt on this one.
So yeah, I get it. It's like Redskins probably just out of the question. I'm sure you'll find someone somewhere who wasn't bothered by it, but whatever. Then it's like Braves and Chiefs, probably fine. And then Indians we can fight about.
And that's a for now classification.
Well, the Indians are gone. The Indians aren't called the Indians anymore. They're the Guardians now. Yeah, they're going to name them after a lot of Marvel franchises, actually. They're just going to have a rotating.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Avengers are going to be sick, though.
Yeah,
it's also like it's such petulance, or like maybe I'm misascribing it here, but it feels like such petulance from football team owners when they rename it from something racist. They always choose the worst name.
Yeah, like Washington football team.
We'll be the Washington City football team. City football team.
We've given it a name that no one could possibly like. It's true. And like I should point out,
like, Jesus Christ, that's worse.
Yeah, of course it's worse. Of course, I should point out, I don't care. Like, call it.
No,
call
worse than the Washington City football team. I mean, like, I'm gonna just. It's probably better than the racist one. Listen, I'm gonna just say it there.
Is it the
it's
Commanders
definitely
they
went better
with?
Than the racist one.
They are the Commanders now, I think. Yeah. But they're all going to be, by the end of this decade, every team in America is going to have moved to Las Vegas. It's going to be very funny.
Yeah. It could be named after the things on the slot machine.
Yeah.
Vegas bars.
The sevens.
The cherries.
It's also like, you can change your name all you want, but you did take a team which is famous for losing and make its logo a W. So game, gotta respect the hustle on that one.
That's good hustle. That's good. That's definitely good hustle. The only argument I'll accept, and it's like, change your name, don't change your name. I actually don't care, unless you're calling them the California Manis is a fat bastard. I'm not personally offended,
and it's not slander because it's true.
Yeah, but well, exactly. You, that's your fucking problem.
I support the Tampa Bay nonsense.
That's the thing. You never, you don't name your team after you. It's like the fucking Cincinnati assholes.
Oh, the Baltimore slave owner is having a huge drive here.
Although I've got to say, the Nevada Trumps, I didn't see it coming, but I'm here for it.
If you didn't see it coming, that's on you, brother.
And surprisingly, those helmets take quite well to being painted Trump hair color and sort of with the
look, that's a good ass idea. Sorry, I wasn't sold until the helmets came in.
They weren't allowed to have the pointy, white pointy helmets like they originally wanted, so they had to go with something more creative.
Also, you could make the uniform into like a business suit with a red tie.
That would be sick.
And like, it doesn't actually matter if your team loses all the time. You just fucking come back after the week, like announce that you won.
Be
the Chael Sonnen of pro football.
We destroyed them. We defeated them by the biggest margin there's ever been. We won the Super Bowl.
Another record victory in another Super Bowl this week by us.
Could you imagine if someone was like, okay, we are now the Cincinnati Gentlemen, and we all just have business haircuts on the helmet, a suit as their uniform. Like, all-time great gimmick team.
Yeah, like, I think we're both taking this too seriously and not seriously enough at the same time. So, like, mm-hmm. The Cincinnati Sailors, and they have little, like, those boating uniforms.
Oh,
and,
the little...
Little hats, you know?
Little Jean-Paul Gaultier designed uniforms.
Yeah.
The New Mexico Peg Boys. All right. I can go with it.
Now, this would obviously not play in the NFL, but I think like the USFL, the newly combined XFL and UFL, like the Rock's one.
Yeah, really, time.
They kind of need
The Rock had one?
He bought the XFL after Vince got rid of it.
And then the two B leagues merged into one B league.
Okay, yeah. right. Oh, I didn't know that.
You ever see Jerry Seinfeld's second computer animation film?
B movie.
Boo B movie.
Who plays the other booby?
Michael Richards, actually.
Michael Richards. Yeah, that's probably why we didn't see it. That's probably why.
Yeah, he's trying to rehabilitate Kramer. He's like, well, people seem to be really against you being in live action stuff. So, I figure a booby movie.
Yeah, what harm can you do with your voice? No, don't say that word, Michael.
No, oh God, no. Why did we record the audio live? what a terrible idea that was. It's the final countdown. Speaking of sports teams, you remember the? Of course you do, because we brought it up before. The short. I think it was like a one season experiment of trying to name all the provinces, like the Leinster Lions and the Connacht Eagles and all that.
Leinster Ravens.
So yeah. Speaking of, there is big rugby news. Just on speaking of the Kansas City Chiefs, Lewis Rees-Zammit has been signed by the Kansas City Chiefs.
He has.
So yeah. Obviously,
now for those of you
interesting players to make the move is going into the team that has won the Super Bowl a lot in the last several years.
For those of you who are sitting here waiting, the many listeners we have who also remember everything we ever said, who are sitting here going, didn't you say that was very unlikely to happen? Yeah. I think we all misunderstood what was on offer. So he's been signed to a special category of contract that doesn't affect their roster any other way. So he's been signed they brought in a new thing this year, or maybe it was last year, specifically for international project players. So you don't have to free up any roster space. So he was only competing with the 19 other people who went over.
Right.
So it was him, one of the other 19, or just nobody. You wasn't like he didn't get picked over like a college player.
But they don't get 53 players on the team, then, do they? They don't get like
he can go on the practice squad, I think.
He can go on the practice. Okay, yeah. Because I'm like,
he can be signed. Yeah, unlikely. Yeah. They don't get an extra player on the.
On the active roster.
You don't, exactly. But you do get it. You can bring
it. And it probably doesn't impact their salary cap or something like that.
Yeah. I don't know how it works in football, but in baseball, there's a strict limit on how many players you can have in your clubhouse. And that doesn't mean that they play, that they necessarily even play.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it was, yeah, so that's what he got. Now, I think had we known that was the case, I would have said, well, yeah, there's a pretty good chance he'll be signed under those circumstances.
If the question was, will he ever play in the NFL? The answer remains unlikely.
It would be amazing.
Three-year contract.
It would be amazing.
I'd love it. And I actually think it's unlikely, but like, that's like 30%, I would say.
30%? Like, if you gave me those odds on like any bet, I'd probably take them. Like, you know?
It might not be 30.
Yeah,
I'd back Gavin.
30% chance to not shit myself today. Every day, I'd probably take it.
I don't know about the O line, but he's brought a lot of people to the O zone. If you know what I'm saying.
Oh, yeah.
So I would think still more likely to benefit kickers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like
specialist position, just like you can practice that all day. Like, you know. If you're an out half, if you're a rugby player, even if you're a GA player, if you're an Aussie rules player, whatever it is, you can practice kicking da ball, you know?
And they simply won't, if the article I read is anything is to be believed, and it's in the newspaper, so it has to be true. There's no matter how well the foreign kickers were doing at combines and stuff, just teams were always reluctant to sign someone that they don't have like a lot of college tape on. There was very limited opportunity for those guys to even get in front of coaches for long enough, and so that will help them with that. So they'll be there.
Yeah,
you know. Whereas I don't know. God bless Louis Brissamet. He's the Cody Rhodes of rugby. He's taking several unlikely chances on himself, and if it pays off,
it's already paying off to a guaranteed quarter mil year one.
You would think the Welsh RFU would be able to match, but they at the moment can't. So,
but he was signed for Gloucester, so Gloucester would have to match.
Oh, was he not? Well, you're okay. You're right. I didn't know that. I thought he was. I actually didn't know anything about where he was playing. And
that's not the most interesting story in club. Who's playing where in club rugby?
Was Gloucester one of the teams that like went bust?
No, it wasn't. Although, like. You know, by the time this episode is released, that may no longer be true.
Yeah.
Fellas, Jordy Barrett.
Oh, yeah, it's very exciting. Barrett.
Signing to Leinster.
I have to say, there are some salty, salty tears being cried there. And I
just have to think, with all the depth that Leinster have, that was the fucking point. It doesn't matter. It doesn't fucking matter if we need him. We want him.
I was very happy to see it because I went as I always do on the day of a victory for Leinster. I go on to Twitter to find out why it didn't count. The usual ones were trotted out. Obviously the. You know, well, they have so many Irish basically an international team. It's not fair that they developed all those players that are good from the academy level. You know, that's and you know all the usual stuff. Or the ref did this, that, or the other. Fine, but of course, this time it didn't count because the crowd were mean to Ronan O'Gara. And it's at that point that you're just like, oh, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Well,
what your name is.
Yeah. So then it's like, yeah, sign him. Sign Jordy Barrett for 6 months. Like, you know, it's
absolutely. Yeah. My favorite thing is the mental gymnastics of the salty tears as well. Will be like, well, you know, he's just blocking the path to like Kieran Frawley, who last week I hated, but now I'm really invested in his career.
I'm not fully up on my internet terms, but is that's concern trolling, right? That's what that is.
Is it? Oh, okay, yeah. I learned something as well.
That's what I hear it all the time. I'm never really sure what it means because I think most people using it probably don't know what it means either.
Yeah.
I think
it's a term on the internet.
I think it means something like what used to happen to Johnny Sexton, where opposition coaches would be like, we're just really worried about Johnny's head, you know, really
at this point.
Really shouldn't be probably playing at all, to be honest with you, just for him. And that's like, I'm pretending to be concerned, but actually I just don't want that thing.
To happen. It's won't you please think of the children, where the children are, you know, Jamie Osborne.
Yeah.
Even though Antoine Friche should have been ahead of him in every article. Yeah. You know, like
Michelle's not above a bit of this. We were watching Dublin Meath on Sunday and she was like, Cluxton really blocking Evan Comerford really from fully coming to what he should be. Like, it's just not really fair on Evan, you know. I like try to look at her phone. It's like, did you pull up Wikipedia to see who fucking Evan Comerford was before this conversation? Yeah, but it's the fun little parts of sport.
What do we think?
It really feels like the next game should be the final. I'm still not used to there being four knockout games.
Yeah. It feels like, oh God, I really just came there and now I've got weeks and weeks until anything happens.
Yeah, but it was, it had to, like, I don't know what, I would have been so very upset. And really, it wasn't close at any point that game, but because of what happened the last 2 years.
A good game, yeah.
Because last year we were 17 points up, it was like, well, fucking 10 points is nothing. If 10 points at halftime and we're ahead, that's a 100% going to lose. We're not going to.
Yeah.
And it does constantly feel, looking at Will Skelton, that if he like remembers how to tie his shoes, that they won't be able to tackle him.
Yeah. That's it.
It's like, if he fucking decides just to score, I mean, won't he?
Yeah. Why doesn't Will Skelton, the biggest of the rugby players, not just eat the others? Like, he's.
And the funny thing is, they don't actually look all that big beside each other because they're all so big. But then you see them standing next to like Tig Furlong. He's like, oh yeah, that's
Jesus. Yeah, you're a big guy.
You're a big fella there, Will.
God, yeah, you see him next to Uni Antonio, and you're like, wait, Uni Antonio is 6'4". What the fuck? Yeah.
And a slim man, apparently, by all accounts.
Yeah, apparently. Yeah.
I enjoyed the Northern Irish commentator whose name I can't remember, his pronunciation of Weenie Antonio. And that may actually be the right way to say it, but it'll still never not be funny in that voice. Much like former Leinster Magnus League stalwart Heinke van der Merwe, who the same guy would pronounce Hinky van der Merwe coming on now from Leinster. I don't know. That again might be how you pronounce it. It could be Hinky, but I'll never know. Hinky van der Minky. I like it. I like it a lot. It's the final countdown.
But you know, Cronin,
joining us this week as always, Jack Toner and Gavin Carberry.
Yo.
Hello.
I didn't want to start the fact agenda was rugby. We've got that out of the way, which is good.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. And the rest of it is yet to come. It's lucky you, is what I said. If you're still on board after last week's WrestleMania review that came out a week and a half after WrestleMania, which I know you were waiting for.
And I do think that we were, if anything, overly restrained in that conversation. It was very much like it was maybe more thoughtful than it should have been, when really it should have been like, man, it was crazy. John Cena was there, and then The Rock was there, and then The Undertaker was there, and I was there too.
Yeah, we should have had the excitement.
Honest, I don't want to hear any wrestling coverage that's not that. Like, yeah. I would listen to a podcast of 8-year-olds describing how cool it was when The Undertaker came out, you know?
It's like and then the storytelling is all that is required for a thing. And then Roman touched Cody Rhodes, and then when Cody was about to win, then Solo showed up, and then when Solo was about to win, and then Seth showed back up, but he was hurt earlier, and then The Rock came out.
The thing is, 95% of wrestling media is that, but they don't think they are.
Yeah.
Summary is not analysis.
This match. Then he chopped him, and then he chopped him back, and then they did a suplex, which I thought was just great.
What's up, guys? Welcome to wrestling coverage. We have 5 subscribers, and you know, there was a time we'd have laughed at someone with 5 subscribers, but now we look up at them with envy. Yeah. We used to be big.
I used to own the BBC.
I used to have a channel at a level of support that would have been at home with the bloke at home in his shed reviewing Miller Lite for the 15th time. That would have been. Now that's what we are. But before we get into that, it's time to get introduced to, I don't know if we all have beers. I actually do have one. Am I alone?
Nope, you are not alone.
Yeah.
I've got a Franciscan well hazy, session pale, very hazy, quite nice. And at €11 for 4, I can see myself getting those again. I haven't had Franciscan Whale in quite some time.
It's been a minute.
Yeah, it's been a minute. Their red ale used to be a go-to for me and used to be everywhere on tap.
Yeah.
And now I found this in Centra. And I'm like, oh, Franciscan, let's dip back in the Franciscan Whale. And let me tell you, it's nice. It's hoppy. It's light. It's, yeah.
Are they an unusual case in that they got bought by a big, by a big company? They got bought by Pernod Ricard, and then they were less everywhere.
Yeah. The reason you get bought is to scale up, not scale down, idiots.
Yeah. No, I can't remember if they're still owned by Pernod. I think they might have divested themselves of that particular part of their portfolio. I'm not sure. I could easily look it up, but that's not what this program is about.
That's not what this program is about. If you want that, go somewhere else.
Go somewhere else. One of the
drinking, Manus?
I'm drinking Mukhara Lager from fucking the Eternal. Where the fuck makes it? The Beer Boys, or Nabucali Bjor.
Where are they from?
Fucking no idea.
Ireland, I assume.
I mean, they're very much saying without saying that they are, so maybe they.
They're Czech, weirdly enough.
Dundalk, according to this. And I purely purchased it because of the delightful little pop bottle that it comes
in. Yeah, the pop bottle. I love it. I saw it on camera. It looks great.
Yeah, I'm possibly the biggest mark in the world for like interestingly packaged beverages.
I will never forget the day that we went into some shop in, I believe, Edinburgh and brought the pint of can because it was shaped like a pint. That was a can.
It was like we weren't even going to buy a drink. I think we were getting a sandwich. we need these, right?
Was it Sapporo or something? I forget.
It was Sapporo.
The Japanese they're innovators. They're real innovators.
Yeah.
Anyone who spends a lot of time around me will go like, yeah, man, so I know that you're a mark for interestingly packaged beer. Right around the time you start getting the brew shakes, you tend to get real interested in packaging.
It's all the marketing that's doing it.
I'm just really into pub lunches. I just love a toasted sandwich, you know, and there's nowhere quite does it like the pub. And so, frankly, if this was like €12 for four of them, they're 330ml bottles. It's a bit much for what it is. It's just a lager. 4.2%, and it's fine. It actually tastes okay, but I don't know what advantages it has over a train, which I could also afford.
Jack, I see you're supping on a long neck beauty there.
I've been surprisingly busy and having to get a chance to go to the shop, so I got a stick of vitamin H right here.
Very nice
bottle of Heineken, which I gotta say, I'm not a lager guy. But there is just something about the bottle of beer that really goes down smooth in a way that, like, I couldn't sit in a pub and drink pints of this. Basically, I couldn't drink a pint of this without feeling.
I find draft Heineken uniquely disgusting. I don't know.
I think draft lager in general, yeah. Like, I just like a light beer. Yeah, I can get after that a little bit. But man, the bottle just smooth.
A bottle of tasteless macro lager just screams it's summertime, baby.
Yeah,
and
it does.
It's drinking weather, like it's almost
louder than,
you know?
Almost louder than Manus's lack of sleeves. Does it scream so?
Yeah.
This is actually little to do with the weather outside, and more to do with the fact that I was making pasta, and so I like to put on a white vest and put on an Italian accent while I do that.
Like noodle arms. Who are you calling noodle arms? You're the noodles. You're the noodles.
It's a retirement community. I think we got to put it on me, you know. And what's good about that is unlike the First Nations, Native Americans, whatever you want to call them, you can make fun of smelly Italians all day and no one minds.
Absolutely. Yeah. Like, you can make fun of them the same way you can make fun of Irish Americans, because like, it's easy to make fun of people who are pulling the ladder up behind them. Like, they're assholes. You know? Yeah. It's like,
I've never seen someone go from...
Yeah, but the people I'm racist against are assholes.
Yeah, it's true. You can make fun of the and it's purely arbitrary. And it, well, I don't know if it's probably not arbitrary, but it's funny that it's like the roles are like, it's, if you had to pick a more put upon people of Europe, you would probably have it be Italy and Spain be the more like old world colonial power like type. But we transfer them to the new world and it's like the descendants of the Spanish conquistadors or whatever are like something of a marginalized community, whereas the descendants of the Sicilian, like desperately impoverished Italians, are operating sanitation businesses and shaking down their neighborhoods for like.
You know, Dennis, we don't talk enough about Latino
to a man. They're doing that.
They're all doing that. That's not a stereotype. That's if it's true to a man.
If it's true 100% of the time, it does become a fact.
They didn't. This people got took credit for The Sopranos. They didn't do anything. They sent out a camera crew to New Jersey and just filmed New Jersey.
It's not even a stereotype. But
see what James Gandolfini was up to. It was supposed to be about something else.
Irregardless. Jag, you sounded like you had a point there.
Oh, almost certainly not. I say that people, you're right, Manus, people don't talk enough about Latino privilege and how bad they were at holding on to it.
They really, yeah.
Yeah, it seemed like all it was real. Surely the conquistadors would have maintained that the Latinos were.
All it took to take their massive sprawling empire off the Spanish seemed to be, and I'm a history graduate, so you know this is accurate and you don't have to look it up. All you seemed to have to do was tell them forcefully to stop it. And they did.
Sorry, Manus, could you go deeper into that? And bear in mind, no is an acceptable answer.
it's the only one I have. I'm purely thinking of the Spanish-American War, which was like it seemed to be like Spain were going to like just about get enough holes patched in their ships to float them out towards the Americans and then let them sink. Like, you want this? I mean, okay. You know, I'm sure it was tougher, you know, the first time when they started like liberating South America and stuff. But I think by the turn of the 20th century, it was like, oh yeah, we don't even want this. We don't. Philippines, who, what?
Huh?
That's not named after us. That's named after Philip Schofield. Yeah. Don't know what to tell you, man. Fucking yeah. The names that they do have oddly Spanish names for the part of the world, but I think that's to do with they're all big Dave Bautista fans. I think that's what it is. You know? Yeah, he's a wrestler turned actor. Won't be born for about 100 years. I think the key is
surprisingly he's got the chops. Yeah, a lot of prestige cinema in his future. He starts off kind of mainstream, but.
A lot of Spanish success, to be honest, has just been us getting there first, and we intend to get there first with Dave Bautista. So, so Heineken, Mukhara Lager, and I like that it's in Irish as well. That's good, because that way I know where I am, where I stand with it. That's brewed in town.
Brewed in town?
See, Dundalk have... Much like every, I know that Dublin people call Dublin city centre town, and I understand that it's very irritating for other parts of the country that also have towns in them, but it is at least sort of understandable. And we wouldn't presume to write something on a can of lager that said brewed in town, but the people of Dundalk are of the opinion that we'll know what that means.
Yeah. Do you know what? They're right. I always assume that like town is like gravity, like calling things town is like gravity. The biggest place around is town. It's like, so if you're in Louth, like, yeah, Dundalk town centre is town. But if you're in Leinster, Dublin's town. If you're in Europe, Paris is town, you know?
That's true.
I'm just going to town.
The Germans were very drawn to Paris. They really, really just, no matter what was going on, they were like, we need to fucking get there.
Like fucking... Like 16-year-olds who need to hang out. They just needed to get to town.
It's true. It's the same. It's just that the central bank put up less resistance than the French Republic. That's all it really was, you know. There was no Maginot line on Dame Street. And anyway, the Goths would have just gone in through the Ardennes anyway, so it would have been fine, you know.
Yeah.
is it Dundalk that refers to itself as, like, when people say, like, up the town?
Yeah, they're not the only ones, but it's like Sligo
Town. Sligo Town. Yeah.
When people say the town, is there one that stands out? Like, I wouldn't say Dublin is not the town. It is town, but it's not the town.
I have spent more time in Dundalk than most people who don't have to have. So I may not be the right person to say this, but I do think of Dundalk when I hear the town. But like, they're by no means are they the only place to do that and think that they are.
Like Boston do it as well. Or certainly they do in that documentary I watched called The Town.
You saw Goodwill. I mean, The Town. That's it. Yeah, that's another joke Michelle really, really hates. Starting to tell her about a documentary I saw and then have it turn out to have been Lord of the Rings or something.
I mean, it's a classic. It's a really good joke.
It's one of those jokes that you don't appreciate until you sort of like accidentally say it in front of new people.
Yeah,
and they're like,
yeah.
Oh my God, that's funny.
Fucking, are you sure that wasn't Lord of the Rings with the fucking hobbits? That's, you know.
Yeah, I watched this great documentary about this eccentric billionaire who used his dead parents' fortune to, you know, fight crime in the form of a bat.
Yeah. And you can see a room get it.
You can watch, if
you say it in front of a big enough group of people, you can see, you can watch people get annoyed by it at different times.
If you want a quicker route as well, you can wait for someone to be like, oh man, I started watching, I saw Dune 2 last week, and we go, oh yeah, great documentary.
Yeah.
I think the path to rage is quicker on that one.
It is, yeah. Less clear what, like, it's not the scenic route of the gag, you know.
You're also doing something which I find very funny, but I can see why the person on the receiving end of it wouldn't, which is you're ruining the story they wanted to tell. You're just
you're totally hijacking. Fucking, yeah.
Yeah. You're telling them without saying, yeah, I'm not really listening to you. I don't.
Yeah. I'm waiting for my turn to speak.
It's one
step above, but three steps more selfish than, damn, dude, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Sometimes that do be crazy, though.
Sometimes shit do just be crazy, dude. And that's all you can say.
It's true. Ben Clifford is the king of this with puns. He'll do, like, you think he's listening intently and he's like doing the active listening thing. He's like, yeah. Really? Yeah.
Interesting.
And then you think he's about to say something else, and it's just like, yeah, well, you really blew them away with that one. And it's like, you know, it's just
you've been sitting on that for I've been speaking for 2 minutes since that thing you were referencing.
I suppose you could say, and you sort of know he's done it before he gets the thing out, but too late to do anything about it.
Like, yeah.
And it's like
brain.
It's like having a big tea, a big signing for your team. It's like great fun to watch other people get annoyed by it, but when money arrives, like I was annoyed when Munster signed like RG Simon and Damian Dialendi.
Absolutely.
At the same time.
Oh, I was
like, how very dare!
Oh, like
how very
I feel
dare
like
they?
I've gotten so much. In fact, I've gotten so much vitriolic enjoyment out of it. Like I still fucking give out about them getting to sign those two. Like I get to have fun either way, you know.
Yeah, it's great because I'm a hypocrite.
Doesn't matter.
Because
I'm a fucking hypocrite.
Yeah. Well, that's why sports not mattering is so important. If this had even the smallest impact, that would be unacceptable. But the fact that it is like no, I get to be mad at you and then happy for me for the precise same thing. Me and Jordan Barrett are furious at you. And
sports doesn't matter. You're correct, but it's way more fun when you pretend it does. College society.
Absolutely.
It's like, this doesn't matter, but don't tell me that now. I don't
yeah,
care.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm having a great time. Stop.
Joey Carberry. I can't believe for his career, I'm not even sure this is the right. I did a bit of that. Did a bit of consent solving for Joey.
Absolutely, yeah.
You know, when he went. I'm like, I'm just not sure for his. I'm not sure Roman Solanoa. I'm just for his development. I'm not sure really that going to Munster is the thing, you know?
Yeah.
And you heard me at the start of this episode calling other people out for doing that and then admitting that I do it myself. What do you want?
But like, yeah, but we're hypocrites. Like, so you can admit to being a hypocrite and you can do whatever you want.
I'm like,
you're not asking consistency for me. I'm a hypocrite.
I say the worst part is the hypocrisy. So I'm all for it. I'm very much looking forward to I do rather hope he doesn't get Jordy Barrett doesn't just get injured like as soon as he comes over, because it's only, it's 6 months. We can't, like, you can't extend it. It's built into his New Zealand deal that he can do that 6 months. So,
and he's a sturdy enough boy, though. Although he will just be on the back of the Orji Snyman train, which is be in Japan essentially playing like the equivalent to like under 21s level rugby. So he may not be conditioned for kind of the business end of a tournament.
Quite possibly not. And I'm very excited for RG Snyman coming to Leinster and certainly not getting injured as soon as he does. I mean, that's... I have to say, when he got injured in his first game for Munster, I was like a little bit like, yeah, fuck them. Well, then as he kept getting injured, I was like, why did I think that? He's a human being.
I think at the start I was like, oh man, I was actually really looking forward to seeing him play more often. He's deadly. It was like, obviously, like, haha, this is very funny, like, as a Leinster fan to Ulster fan, but like,
as a fan, it is like the core
as a fan of the sport and as a human being, you don't want him to do badly.
Yeah.
I get to where you are, but I have to go through some bits before I get there. Like, I was very upset. I was very worried for Kerr Barlow on Saturday, but this was after hearing that a player was knocked out, and I went, good, I hope he's dead. Like, I don't know where that comes from.
But... Listen, you don't know where it comes from, but it's there.
It was there, and then I was like, oh wait, he might be. What are you doing?
You will feel so horrible if that comes to pass.
You don't know that he's not dead. All you've heard is he's been knocked out. What are you doing? And luckily, I was on my own, and I'm effectively on my own here, so no one will know that I thought or said that out loud. So I got to enjoy that match like entirely on my own. Like, I like watching it with other people, but only if they also care about it.
I can't be
sitting in the room with people who are just like, la 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 la. Can't do it.
The Ricky McCormack watch, as it used to be known.
The only man I've ever seen have fans leave a good game to avoid being near.
That was the only time I didn't mind it, because he was bothering everyone else so much more. I was just like, this is funny.
I loved it because it's a way better story than it was about. It's a way better story still than it was a bad moment for a moment.
You could certainly come away from hearing us describe Ricky and think he wasn't like sound, but he is.
Very sound.
Massively.
He's sort of like a kitchen knife. It's like, I mean, fucking use him to like, he will, like, if you use him wrong, he will stab someone. Like, he doesn't know not to do that if you point him at someone.
He has stabbed before and will stab again.
It's not the knife.
The best we can hope to do is aim.
It's not a metaphor.
I seemed like I was using a metaphor there. That's certainly the way it could have come across, but
I just want to be crystal clear.
Yeah, people are like, oh yeah, that Ricky fella, he's pretty sharp. You have no idea.
You have absolutely no idea. Yeah, Jesus Christ.
He's really good. He's a champion debater. Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't fucking beat him either, to be honest. I'd kind of let him on with it. I wouldn't be arguing with him. Okay. For the fifth round in a row, Ricky McCormack, first prop, has won. There has been no op. Again, this is an interesting one.
Really unusual.
Yeah, ever since the first one disappeared in the earlier round, we just haven't had anyone. They just conceded. They conceded his point straight away. Can you do that in a debate? I didn't do enough of them to
concede.
Yeah, can you just go? Yeah, he's right.
Yes, but have you ever met a debater? Like, the answer is emotionally no.
Oh yeah, they can't.
Like, if they were capable of concession, they'd have friends instead of debate colleagues.
It's true. They are possibly second. They're not even second. They're ahead of actors in hating the people they spent the most time with.
It's like, I think people could compare it to but like, even if you're getting battered, like, you'd never concede a rugby game. Absolutely untrue. I have a very clear memory once of when I was playing for Lansdowne Road. The game was absolutely over and the pizza arrived early and we all agreed, let's just finish it and go and enjoy this.
I played in a soccer game for the famous Hot Press First 11 once, where the famous football brain.
Wait, did you go to the Hot Press 11 Youth Academy?
I was in a Hot Press Youth Academy graduate. Yes, I was.
Yeah.
And the famous youth development coach Niall Stokes, and player manager at the same time, bravely refused to concede a game where it was actually quite close up until about three quarters of the way through the game. We had actually taken the lead at one point. Then it got to about 2-1. It was 2-1 for ages, and then they figured out how to score every time they got the ball. They just were like. Our two fullbacks were me and this Polish bloke who looked exactly like me, and neither of us really knew how to play the position. And they just—I don't know what they were doing, but they figured out how to like play a pass over us that resulted in a goal every time. And it got to like 9-1 with 12 minutes left, and the referee's like calls up to Niall and goes, "Can we just stop this? Like, there's another." And he goes, "Oh, how much time is that, ref?" 12 minutes. No, we'll keep going.
We might get one back.
Yeah. By not conceding the match, he continued to concede goals.
I think it ended up like 12-1. I think it was like I don't think anyone else.
The Hot Press 11 versus, you know, like, name a good football team.
Arsenal.
And it was like 1 minute into the game, and you're like, guys, you're a goal down. This is clearly only going one direction. Do you want to call it a day? But like, yeah, we only lost by one to Arsenal. If you'd offered me a draw at the start, I'd have taken that. I'd have paid for it.
What's weirder is that didn't happen more, because we were as bad every time we played. And like, it was, we sometimes won and it was never a blowout, but that was. We had no answer to what they were doing. And the answer, actually, we had an answer, we just didn't take it. The answer was, the ref's asking you, do you want to stop? And yes.
Yes is the answer. Yes is the answer to make this stop.
Yeah, make the thing that's happening. I don't know how to stop it, but, you know, but that is one way. And it's an option to you. You've been offered it. You should have actually. And frankly, by the time the ref is asking, he'd probably been like sort of trying to like hint at it for the last four goals. Been like, we you know, looking at the watch and looking at,
oh,
you know?
Yeah, weather's looking pretty bad, guys, after that last goal.
Looking, yeah, like examining, looking over the clouds and stuff. Yeah, I don't know, the pitch might be a bit torn up here, but God bless the, we did win the Champions League that year, though.
Weird, yeah, you just weren't a great league team. Knockout.
Yeah, which, knockout. And there was a big kerfuffle then, because we actually finished fifth in the league. So we couldn't get into the next year's Champions League. So actually a Welsh team, the New Saints.
And then the Renford Rejects also got in, despite the fact that they're at the start
Razors
of the season,
had the Renford Razors had defeated them repeatedly.
And the
Renford Rejects were there. Yeah. Their goalkeeper spent most of the time sitting, leaning against the post, reading a poetry book. And I have to say, I didn't see it coming that they were going to win that year's Europa Champions League.
Look,
but they
win championships, you know?
Yeah.
That's what they say. Weird defense apparently wins championships.
Yeah. They weren't even an 11-a-side team, were they? They were like 5-a-side, weren't they?
I think so, yeah. I think they can only afford five actors.
Yeah, that's the kind of budget and plot complexity that show was able to handle.
Yeah.
I can't remember if it was good. I can't remember, like, obviously it's not, like, I can't remember if I liked it or not. I watched a lot.
Yeah, that's it. Whether it was good or not is probably, like, objectively no. But did you like it while you watched it? I can't remember.
I really can't. I think it might have been on before something that I really wanted to watch, because I saw a lot of it. Like, I got through
like a lot of kids' TV, just like diverting. Like, it was just something that had like a very simple story that was like more entertaining than sitting in the garden.
Yeah, it's true. I saw a very small child, and I spent a lot of the time, when you're on the bus, what else is there to do? Only look at what very small children are doing.
Of course.
But she was playing with her iPad, like watching just YouTubes or TikToks or something. Anyway, she was scrolling on it. And like the shit she was watching, I wish she had had the Redford Rejects to look at. It's like, it's just like a pair of eyes meandering around the screen, or like, you know, and you know, a bunch of elephants holding hands or something. But it's just nothing. It's just flashy lights.
It's like Fantasia without a sort of like underlying artistry.
And with like a 2 second attention span, she would watch whatever the thing was, and then flip.
Yeah, it's like, here's a pineapple moving around, here's a different thing moving around.
Yeah, yeah. It was. I wish she got to see the Renford Rejects. And I have to say, I don't know if there will ever come a time when the genre of what a girl wants to play football won't get over, but I hope that never comes.
Beckham, the Renford Rejects.
Yeah.
There's definitely a ton more.
Bad News Bears, Little Giants. That's 4. There may not be any more than that. But
yeah.
I think Bad News Bears had a remake. That's 5. So
yeah.
There could be more. The Simpsons even made fun of it with like, yeah, we have 4 others on the team already. You're very welcome, Lisa.
Yeah.
One she was no longer interested in. Renford Rejects even did it twice in the same in the same program. They changed the girl who wants to play football in the middle of it. They're like, oh no, that one has to leave. But here's another. Oh, what? Another girl wants to play football.
Can't be shot twice, guys. Come on.
Like, did the Renford Razors not learn their lesson before when they rejected the other girl who ended up being your best player? I don't understand why they thought this. I can even remember the sponsor on their football jersey. It was Supra Drain. Flying winger Ronnie Supra, his father on the Supra Drain.
Advertising works.
Fucking works, yeah. Ronnie they Supra had pretended to be Italian.
No, different guy.
That was a different guy.
Bruno something was the bloke who wasn't Italian but thought he was.
Thought he was or pretended to be?
It was not clear.
I think, yeah. There was definitely one episode where someone managed to convince him that he wasn't Italian, and it was very sad.
Yeah, the climax of the episode was him like re-entering his delusion. He was like, "Yeah, I'm Italian now. I forgot, and I remembered again that I really am Italian." Even the rejects knew. Even in the 90s, they were like, if we fucking make this guy pretend Italian, we can. This is fine.
Exactly.
There's a bunch of places we can
make this guy pretend to be. That's not going to get us in hot water. I know, Italian.
Italian. They will never not be a punching bag.
Come full circle, guys. This episode.
Yeah.
I know.
We should do a parade of characters at the end.
Yeah.
Remember, we're trying to write a show, and it's like. I think it was Dean or someone who wrote to us, you have to put a parade of characters at the end. I went, well, every show does that. And he goes, I know, every show does it. And the audience will be annoyed if you don't do it. And he's completely right.
There's nothing, I mean, nothing hits like, oh, you've just watched this movie and it's kind of based in real life. And you're like, oh, we're going to get still frames with the where they are now.
Oh, fucking, yes. That is my favorite part of every fucking movie.
I don't have to Google shit.
Oh, do I get a fucking side by side of the actor playing them and the real guy?
Yes.
If an animated movie was to do an actor playing it doing the voiceover beside the character doing the voiceover, I mean, just like put that.
I like that too. It's not as good, but it's in the same league, you know.
It's going for the same thing.
You couldn't do it because it'd freak out the kids. I know.
Double marks for if I assumed it wasn't a biopic because it was too mad, and then they reveal that the thing was real and it really happened at the end.
Absolutely, yeah.
I think that happened with the Tom Cruise movie American Made, where he plays Barry Seal, Barry Seal. I don't know if you were supposed to know this was a real guy the whole way through, but I didn't.
It certainly doesn't seem like that would be a real person.
Yeah, and then it just is, and it's like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Like anything with like drug smuggling and Colombia involved, I think they had to like, and the CIA, I think they had to make it like when you look it up, you find out the real thing was way more nuts than the movie. Or maybe not. You know, who fucking, who knows? Maybe you can believe everything the mainstream media tells you.
Wow.
Wait a minute, guys. Have we come full circle on the mainstream media? Was the truth the friends we made along the way?
It is. Sure, that has to be the next thing. It's just like being like a down the line, everything the news tells me is true guy. Like, and have that be the next punk rock, you know? Certainly beats the shit out of the old punk rock.
Yeah, boring, very shouty.
Shouty, they would spit on each other.
Ugh,
no thanks.
Yeah, guys, maybe turn it down a few notches. Maybe let me hear
you. Learn to play your fucking instruments, lads, if at all possible.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like... Oh, a fifth chord. I didn't realize you were allergic.
Because that's what they all really want. Like when Johnny Rotten learned how to play in his instrument better 2 weeks ago, and he started doing that. Oh, poor Johnny. Yeah, one of the better posts. Original punk band, Public Image Limited, or were quite well received after the Sex Pistols, I think.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, were indeed.
You know, he's probably the wrong example.
Out of the Eurovision entry.
That was quite poor. It wasn't great. It was a very subject very dear to his heart. So it was probably unfair to make fun of him, but like, you know, it was terrible.
Yeah. I mean, I hate to say it, it was terrible.
Which is kind of, I get it as well. Like the, you know, like you all know, like a comic or any sort of artist, you'll be like, yeah, well, this is really what I'm like. This show is actually to raise awareness of like this very serious disease. It's like, oh, yeah. Now I can't point out to this shit. Wish I'd thought of that. Could still be going, probably. I'm not above it.
He's gone so far. He's headlining the Apollo, and every show starts with this show is to raise awareness for a mysterious disease.
Yeah, it kills only the cutest babies and puppies. And here's a montage of them in better times. So anyway, what's in the news? I'm willing to try it. Unless there's anything else, it's probably review time. It's probably getting the time of the year. Heineken first, obviously, first and foremost.
Yeah, I give the weather a 10 out of 10, therefore Heineken gets a 10 out of 10.
Lovely. Yeah, it's all you want to drink. Mouse, how was your Buchelbier?
The Beer Boys, Makara Lager. I mean, like, for what we used it for, which is kind of a starting off point for making fun of Dundalk, like that, yeah, great.
Otherwise, 10.
Yeah, 10. As a beer, completely unremarkable. I mean, I bought it once, and I will. And yeah, you could replay my life 1,000 times. I will always have bought it once because of the packaging.
Yeah,
they were €12 for 4 of them. I don't know, man. It doesn't distinguish itself in any way to justify taking that much of my money when I could spend less and have the same basic experience. Maybe someone who's a more refined palate. Like, I do tend to find it hard to like figure out where one lager differs from another. So,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Certainly the macro ones.
Usually,
I guess
it's usually in the weather.
If you have a fucking like Doppelbock or something, I'll fucking notice that it's different. But like, you know, of the type, I was like, I don't fucking know. It's cold and fizzy, and I like it or I don't like it. But it's fine. Don't not buy it. But for me, it's probably not worth it. So, like a 6, a generous 6.
Nice. I think Franciscan Well Hazy is well priced, you know, €11 for 4 at this in this day and age is kind of like, yeah, grand. Like Little Fawn is available, is better, and is better value. So, you know, that puts a ceiling on this, absolutely. But I enjoyed the thing and I look forward to having more. At the weekend, if the weather's good, I'll just sit out and have a few beers. I think it's going to be like probably like a 7, maybe stretching to a 7.5, but like not going to be. That's absolute. If I'm in the best mood, it can only ever get a 7.5.
And it's suffering like all the type of beers in that category go for. It's just having this like genre defining opponent. That's just until you can beat it, it's like, I don't know why I would buy that.
Yeah. Exactly, yeah. And a genre beating opponent that, like, just, like, Little Fawn could afford to charge twice as much, and it just doesn't. It, like, comes in at the right price with the right taste, and, like, why would you not?
Yeah, it truly is lovely. And I don't know, does it just suit the Irish palate or something, or if they could get it better, if they could get it around the place more, would people love it as much as we do? I've no idea.
Yeah.
But let's keep it our own little secret, you know, like that band you liked until they got big. Yes, more
for us.
Right. It really only leaves us one thing to cheers to.
Yeah.
And it's to those damn greasy Italians.
To those damn greasy Italians.
The best of us, those damn greasy Italians.
They never change. Or maybe change a bit. I don't know.
If you change, maybe we'll stop mocking you.
It's unlikely, but it could happen.
And cut! Good enough. Splice in some reaction shots of me and shove it on the air.